The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network, a brand new chapter for a brand new day. And the Robert Mueller investigation front and center all across news of all kind in the United States and also around the world. Why is that? Well, outgoing Senator Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, is fulfilling his promise to stop or slow down Senate confirmations of Trump-nominated judges if the Senate does not pass a bill that Flake has introduced to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller from being fired if President Trump so chooses. Following the objection to Flake's motion in the Senate for unanimous consent to vote on that motion was defeated, Flake joined Senate Democrats, he's a Republican, in voting against the confirmation of Thomas Farr, a nominee to serve on the federal bench for the Eastern District of North Carolina as a federal judge. Flake's move forced Vice President Pence, as president of the Senate, which the vice president is, to break the 50-50 tie to confirm Farr for that federal judgeship. Flake's action has ignited a firestorm surrounding Robert Mueller. Who does the special counsel work for? Who has the authority to hold any special counsel accountable for his or her job performance and adherence to the rules and the law that establish that very position? Let's look at the law and its operation as it pertains to Mueller's current position. The law and its history. Let's look at it. A special counsel is different from independent counsels who investigated high-profile matters in the past. You'll remember these. In the Watergate investigation, the Justice Department appointed Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox, who was eventually fired by President Nixon in what's called the Saturday Night Massacre. In the aftermath of that firing, President Nixon appointed Leon Jaworski to replace Cox with the protection that dismissal of Jaworski could only be fired with the consent of a majority of the Senate Judiciary Committee. In 1978, as part of the Ethics in Government Act, the Attorney General was authorized to seek a special independent prosecutor to investigate executive branch officials and assigned a three-judge panel from the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia the authority to appoint and monitor the independent counsel's activities. From 1978 to 1982, three special prosecutors were assigned under the Ethics in Government Law. The law was authorized for a period of 5 years, and that original law expired in 1983. Congress modified the law in 83 to address concerns as to the broad coverage of the law. Despite opposition from the Reagan administration, the law was reauthorized for 5 more years. 7 independent counsel investigations occurred during the Reagan administration, including the massive Iran-Contra investigation conducted by independent counsel Lawrence Walsh. In 1988, after the law was reauthorized one more time, the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the independent counsel law. Justice Scalia was the sole negative vote arguing that the law was unconstitutional. Then in 1992, the independent counsel law expired. President Clinton reauthorized the law in 1994. By mid-1998, 7 separate investigations of the Clinton administration were underway, including the infamous investigation of President Clinton by Kenneth Starr. That law expired again in 1999. In its place, the Justice Department crafted special counsel procedures and regulations. The Justice Department appointed Special Counsel Fitzgerald during the Bush administration to investigate the Valerie Plame affair that resulted in the conviction of Scooter Libby. So, let's look at Special Counsel Mueller. Under the Deputy Attorney General's order, when Special Counsel Mueller was appointed, and that was done by Rod Rosenstein, here is the order and what Mueller is supposed to do. Special Counsel Mueller is authorized to prosecute federal crimes arising from the investigation of these matters. The reference to 28 CFR Section 600.4, Section A, authorizes Special Counsel Mueller to investigate and prosecute federal crimes committed in the course of and with intent to interfere with the special counsel's investigation, such as perjury, obstruction of justice, destruction of evidence, and intimidation of witnesses. The special counsel's conduct must comply with the rules, regulations, procedures, practices, and policies of the Department of Justice, but he or she shall not be subject to the day-to-day supervision of any official of the department. 28 CFR Section 600.7, Section A and B. The Attorney General, then Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, when Attorney General Session was recused, and now Acting Attorney General Michael Whitaker, quote the law, may conclude that a special counsel action is so inappropriate or unwarranted under established department practices that it should not be pursued, end of the quote. If the acting attorney general conducts such a review, he shall give the special counsel's view great weight and shall notify Congress if he reaches such a determination. 28 CFR Section 600.7B. The acting attorney general retains authority to remove the special counsel for misconduct, dereliction of duty, incapacity, conflict of interest, or for other good cause, including violation of departmental policies. That's 28 CFR Section 600.7. Under the special counsel regulations, the Attorney General has the theoretical authority to restrict the special counsel's activities and, in the end, can even dismiss the special counsel. Given the surrounding controversy and need for independence, it would be a rare situation for the President to order the Attorney General to terminate the special counsel in the absence of extraordinary circumstances. However, as history has shown, remember Richard Nixon, such unforeseen events can occur. The very appointment by President Trump of Michael Whitaker to replace former Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been under fire from Democrats since it occurred. Every day, from everywhere, charges are coming against President Trump's appointment of Michael Whitaker. Their reasoning is based on the constitutional requirements for such appointments. And let's look at where their disagreement comes from. The Appointments Clause, as it is called, is part of Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution, which empowers the President to nominate and, with the advice and consent, that's confirmation, of the United States Senate, appoint public officials. However, it often happens that cabinet members resign or they're terminated, and the replacement nominated and confirmed can often leave those important positions vacant for an extended period of time. Many Democrats are emphatically holding to the belief that President Trump violated Article 2 of the Constitution by appointing Whitaker to fill that seat without the consent of the Senate. For the reasons stated in the previous paragraph, Congress confronted the problems caused when these circumstances come up by passing the Federal Vacancy Reform Act of 1998. It states the president can appoint a temporary, high-ranking official until a permanent official is vetted by the Senate and put in place. Trump appointed Whitaker under this act, as Whitaker was Sessions' chief of staff already. However, those Democrats state flatly the job should have fallen to Sessions' number two man. Who is that? Well, we all know it's Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. But the circumstances surrounding Rosenstein's ascent to Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, and his several alleged conflicts of interest in the Mueller probe prompted the President to bypass Rosenstein and appoint Whitaker. So, it's just gone nuts after that. And it gets even worse. There's so much more going on. And we're going to look at it when we get back in just a minute. Sit tight. You're going to get some answers. I know you're wanting to know who the heck can fire this guy. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous. May God bless and keep you always. May you always the tenacious. May you always do for others. The ones who push forward. Give back to the stars. long live the greater good. The helping hand. Those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
No identity politics, no political elitism. Read and hear the truth, always sourced from facts.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
We're back at it now. We're talking about Robert Mueller and who the heck can fire the special counsel. Well, what all's happened in the Senate that's kind of brought this to a head? In a discussion on the floor about Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, we told you earlier about his motion for unanimous consent to bring that bill up for a floor vote. Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, stood and gave an amazing explanation of the danger such action would initiate here in the United States. In his opposition to Flake's bill, Lee cited the late Justice Antonin Scalia's minority opinion in the case Morrison v. Olson, the Supreme Court case that upheld the process of appointing an independent counsel under a bill passed 40 years ago. The law's authority has expired. And I'll quote Senator Lee here. As Justice Scalia explains, we cannot convert an office like this one, he's talking about the Office of Special Counsel, an office like the previously existing Office of Independent Counsel, without creating a de facto fourth branch of government, fundamentally undermining the principles of the separation of powers that is so core to our liberty. That's according to Mike Lee, senator from Utah. A concise and specific question to ask in light of Lee's statement is this. Flake and others want a law passed that would prevent President Trump from firing Robert Mueller. Doing so, according to Lee, would literally create a fourth branch of government, making members of that fourth branch, in this case Robert Mueller, special counsel, immune to accountability for any of their actions, regardless of how egregious they might be. Who would they answer to? In the current structure, Mueller is a de facto member of the Department of Justice and works for the Attorney General. Democrats' beef is that with Michael Whitaker's replacement of Sessions as AG, the president could require Whitaker to terminate Mueller for any reason. Trump opponents want to prevent that situation from even being possible. But if a bill was passed, who would the special counsel answer to? The answer is simple. Nobody in government. In fact, doing so would require amending the U.S. Constitution. Wow, nobody talks about that. Nobody thinks about that. They just want to throw a roadblock up in front of the president. Let's talk about some mitigating factors. There are applicable considerations that, in large, are being ignored by those screaming for Mueller's protection from termination by the president. First, President Trump has repeatedly, for 18 months since the beginning of the Mueller probe, stated again and again and again and again and again he has no intent of firing Mueller, that he wants the Mueller probe to be completed, be thorough, and he wants it to be finalized. The president literally screams at reporters when he's questioned about Mueller's pending firing that he will not fire Mueller because there was no Trump campaign collusion with Russia, which is what the Mueller probe's all about anyway. The White House has presented the dozens of witnesses requested by the Mueller team to testify, along with more than a million requested documents. And President Trump has submitted answers in writing to Mueller's questions of him. Compliance with Mueller in every way requested. Just to be frank and honest, there's absolutely no legal way a law could be crafted and passed and signed that could guarantee such protection to Mueller's position without that constitutional amendment. You know what that requires? Congress has to pass it, both houses, and then three-quarters of the states would have to pass it. That's not going to happen. hadn't happened in a long time, and it would take forever. That is simply not a possibility here. So let's talk about something a little important, too, that nobody is talking about. What does the American public think about the Mueller probe overall? There's some recent polling that's been underway from nonpartisan sources. Now, you'll see and hear about polls from outlets like Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and CBS and NBC. Those are all pretty much partisan. We know what each one of those news outlets, their perspective and vantage point always is, whether they're liberal or whether they're conservative. Well, what does the American public think? While 58% of Americans believe Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of President Trump and Russia is harming our country, 35% say it should continue, and they say it should go indefinitely. That's according to a new Harvard-Harris poll. It finds this: it's helping the country. 42% believe that. 58% say it's hurting the country. 31% say Mueller should stop immediately. 9% said give him another month. 12% say 2 to 3 months. 6% say 3 to 6 months. 7% say 6 months to a year. But 35% of the Americans polled say Mueller should be able to investigate the president indefinitely. Only 37% believe Mueller has uncovered any actual evidence of collusion with Russia. 37% say he's found it. 40% say, nope, hadn't found anything. While 23% say, I really don't know. More than half of Americans say anti-Trump bias played a role in launching the probe from the very beginning. 54% say bias played a major role. 46% say there was no role played by any bias. Two-thirds of Americans think the public should see the evidence the FBI and the Justice Department have to clear the air about any potential wrongdoing in starting the investigation. It's important to publicly release the evidence used by the FBI and the DOJ to clear the air about any possible wrongdoing in starting the Trump-Russia investigation. 67% of Americans feel that way. But 33% feel the administration should not publicly release the evidence to avoid interfering with sources and methods of interviewing. And the way it'll happen is Robert Mueller will write and issue a report of his findings. He cannot prosecute anybody. He has to turn it over to a prosecutorial authority. And in this case, he would turn it over to the Department of Justice, probably Michael Whitaker, probably Rod Rosenstein too. And they would make a determination of whether or not to turn it over to the House of Representatives to consider articles of impeachment against the president, or to issue indictments for anybody that's not the president that would be indictable because of Robert Mueller's findings. Nearly two-thirds of Americans want a special counsel to look into the way the investigation was initiated and how it has been handled. 62%. Of those polled feel that way, while 38% oppose it. But two-thirds of Americans say Special Counsel Mueller should not be fired. 68% feel that way. Only 32% say he should be fired. So let's try. Let's try hard to bring this to a close. Let's try to summarize the whole thing. I'll make a prediction. I do this every once in a while, and I got to be honest with you, I'm very cautious and I don't do it very often. But I must tell you that every time I've made a prediction at truthnewsnet.org, including predicting the outcome of races, I've been accurate. This one, Robert Mueller continues the probe. Mueller's staff attorneys, especially Andrew Weissman, the bulldog of the group, push forward harder and harder and harder, continuing to make their offers to witnesses of deals that cannot be refused. That's the old Sicilian style of making offers that whoever that gets the offer can't refuse it, to confirm negative allegations made against members of the Trump team and maybe even the president himself. Several Mueller targets have bucked against compliance in these actions by the Mueller team and have actually initiated legal actions against Mueller himself for taking those actions against them. In some cases, they are charging Mueller or asking the court to charge Mueller with criminality and pushing this process. The bottom line in the Mueller probe is simple. Mueller is obviously diligently working to uncover wrongdoing by members of the Trump campaign and by the president himself. That's what he was supposed to do. He's doing that. It is obvious that so far Mueller has come up empty, and he's trying to find stuff to justify where he's been. The prosecutions completed so far have not shown any wrongdoing tied directly to the campaign of the president, and certainly not to the president himself. That lack of discovered wrongdoing seems to be pushing Mueller to find things in people he can use to attack the president. My final note is this. It is apparent that Mueller desperately wants to attack with substance President Trump. It is apparent that Mueller's been able to find anything of substance to do so far, hadn't been able to. Will Mueller do as Mueller's most recent target, Jerome Cossey, claims a special counsel is alleging, offering witnesses a plea deal in which they plead guilty to lying when all they're doing is refusing to lie by confirming claims against the Trump team? That's a vicious, wicked circle there. That sounds unfathomable. And hopefully, that practice being exposed will jolt Mueller into abandoning that legal travesty. Most think the special counsel should be able to take whatever legal actions are necessary to get to the truth, but not be able to manufacture any evidence or extort witnesses into making specific testimony. They should be expected and they should be allowed to tell the truth and not be badgered and not try to flip them after they've told you the truth, but offer you a deal to try to get you to lie. I doubt it will be too much longer until all the good and all the bad of the Robert Mueller probe will be revealed to all of us. There's no way when his report is issued that it's not going to be leaked to the public. You know that the Department of Justice, with all the leaks that we've seen up and down, FBI, DOJ, doesn't matter. Whatever the report says, we're going to hear about it. Not until that happens will Americans' suspicions about President Trump, the Trump campaign, and Robert Mueller be answered. We're going to find out about this Russian collusion. The president says it every day. There was no collusion. There was no collusion. And I got to tell you, there was no collusion, or we know, just because we were just talking about the leaks in the DOJ and the FBI, if there was any collusion, folks, you would not only know it existed, but you would know exactly who, what, why, when, and who got paid what to allow it and make it happen. That's just the way things work in D.C. That's tough, but that is the way it works. Oh, this too. If Mueller or any of his prosecutors' actions are found to have been illegal in any way, they should each be prosecuted for their wrongdoing. You know, I never have understood the reason this is allowed. You know, it is a felony for you in testifying or not even under oath, just talking to an FBI agent, a member of the Department of Justice in an investigation. If you lie to them, it's a felony for you to do it. But while they're conducting that interview or any subsequent conversation with you, they can lie to you. They can say anything. And there's no retribution for them lying to us. But we can't even mistakenly tell them a story. And that means you can testify to something. They ask you a question about something specific. They show you a text or an email. Did you send that? You may have sent it. It may have been an email that you received or sent 5, 6, 7 years ago. You don't remember. How many of us remember the specifics of emails and texts that we sent or received 5 years ago? And you can say, I didn't send that, or I didn't get that. And then if they come back and show you, yeah, you did. Forgetting is not justification in the mind of the FBI, in the mind of the special counsel. If you get it wrong, you're guilty of lying and you've committed a felony. Wow, it's convoluted. I hope we get through this pretty quickly and get on to being a real government and getting real things done. Just imagine if all this hadn't been going on. As good as the economy's been just roaring, the stock market, the gross domestic product just recently revised to last quarter being 3.5%. Just think how good it would be if we didn't have this cloud hanging over the presidency in the White House. And by the way, Robert Mueller will not be fired, even though he works for the Department of Justice. And guess who heads the Department of Justice? The President of the United States. It's part of the executive branch. He can fire anybody at will in the executive branch. So much for that. We're going to put this whole thing to bed. Thanks for joining me here today at truthnewsnet.org. You know, we always give you the truth. We always give you the facts. We do the research for you. We have that truth for you pretty much every day. Don't miss a single podcast or story. Log your email address on the front page of the website, truthnewsnet.org, the bottom right side. We never try to reach out to you to sell you anything. You can't buy anything here. We don't ask you for anything. And your email address stays right here. But what happens is every time we post a new story or podcast, late that night, you'll get an email with a link to that story. The next day, all you do is click on the link in that email. It takes you right to the story or podcast. You never miss one. Hey, thanks for being part of our family. We love having you along on this journey. See you later at truthnewsnet.org. Have a great day.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
truthnewsnet.org.